In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men lay devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll be reading Psalm 68. If the congregation will please read the bold print. Let God arise, and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee.
As snow is driven away,
But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful.
Sing to God. Sing praises to God's name. Exalt the one who rides the cross. I am because of that name. Rejoice before God.
In your holy habitation, O God, you are a father to orphans, defender of widows. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked and the skies poured down rain, at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel.
You sent a bountiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord.
You ride in the heavens, O God, in the ancient heavens. You send forth your voice, your mighty voice.
Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies.
How wonderful you are in your holy places, O God of Israel, giving strength and power to your people. Blessed be God.
A reading from 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you, strengthened and established you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you have gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them. And know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me because they are yours. All mine are yours and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension, which has unfortunately become a forgotten festival in the life of the church, but very much an essential one in the life of the church. It is an event that we proclaim in the Creed. He ascended into heaven. And while that might sound like something that happened immediately after the resurrection, the ascension takes place 40 days after the resurrection, which is why it's always on a Thursday. And the core doctrinal principle of the ascension is that something of earth has now gone up to heaven. That at Christmas, the feast of the incarnation, something of heaven has come down to earth, took on our flesh. And now at the ascension, something of earth, that resurrected body of Christ has gone to heaven. So in Christ, heaven and earth are now joined together, which is not how I think many Christians see the world. Many Christians still see heaven on a linear line. It's something that we're marching towards, a destination. But in Christ, we're already in heaven, as we are still on earth. It's one of the reasons why you hear me say often that we are heaven and earth people, because in Christ, we're living in both those realms. But on this seventh Sunday of Easter, we find ourselves in the in-between time of the Ascension and Pentecost, these two big festivals in the life of the church. And our first lesson, you probably noticed, tells the story of Christ's ascension in Acts of the Apostles. Glenn Munson says that while the apostles are all named here, what if we gave them titles as well? What if we gave them titles that points to their shortcomings? They must feel right now, as Jesus ascended into heaven, how they're going to navigate without their compass. If we think of Simon as Simon the Zealot, Peter the betrayer, Philip the skeptic, Thomas the doubter, in other words, do we let our inabilities, do we let our shortcomings prevent us from moving forward and following the way of Jesus? Are we going to let ourselves be defined by our shame? Or are we going to be transformed by God's love? Now, in our world, there is a seduction of power. That even with noble intentions, we think that if we just had enough power, all the good that we could do in the world. Don't you fantasize about that sometimes, right? If I had all this power, if I had so much money, what I would do? You'd make the world a better place. Yet, I would argue that in our broken selves, it would almost certainly result in ways that would be self-serving. And I wonder what the apostles thought, knowing their own shortcomings, knowing their own failures, as they hear that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we handle all this power that we have from God? Do we ask ourselves that question? Can we handle that power that we have from God? Do we use the power that comes from God in good ways? In the way our Lord uses them to lift up the lowly, to minister to the suffering? Or are we poor stewards of what God has entrusted to us? Are our heads stuck in the clouds, so to speak, looking to the heavens to fix the problems that we are the cause of as a broken humanity in many ways? We fail to see God at work in the world. We fail to see the power of God among us and in us. We are trapped in our fear and shame, and we end up getting lost in despair and anger, failing to hear and see God who is among us. But notice where everybody following the ascension go. Then they return to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. They go back to the upper room where they celebrated the Last Supper. Churches consumed with sustaining themselves over the years have pondered ways to attract people. Some have sought to entertain, and maybe again with pure intentions, that if we just get people in the door, they would hear the gospel. But those tactics can take on a life of their own, and the gospel can get lost in all that. In a thirst for power and relevance, we want to put ourselves in the driver's seat, and what we end up doing is we're inviting people to worship what we are doing, and not enabling this for people to see what God is doing in church and world. In times of fear, times of shame and despair, we should invite people to be fed with the word and sacrament, as those that saw the ascension went back to the upper room. Sadly, it's something that I believe even American Lutherans need to be reminded of, because we've all been swept up with the thirst of needing to be relevant, to place to have our power and influence in society once again. And when we're seduced by that idol, we easily lose our way. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to be witnesses to what God is doing in the church and the world. Christ is lifted on the cross. Christ is lifted from the bonds of death. And at the ascension, Christ is lifted once again. The good news is that we are joined to Christ. We are lifted with Christ. And even though as people on earth, we will continue to be distracted, even succumb to the things that move us away from following the way of Jesus, from seeing God at work in our midst, but as heaven people, we receive forgiveness and mercy. We're lifted up from our moments of despair and shame. And then we realize we're not just saved from something, we're saved for something. To be witnesses to God's work and love in this world. The power of the Holy Spirit takes the burden off our shoulders, because we're reminded that God is not calling the qualified, God is qualifying the called. Now, there are some Christians in our society that want to make the Christian witness about us versus them. There are calls for violence. Even if that violence is grounded in spiritual language, it contains violent imagery. Then there's that power, that thirst for power of this world that they call people to bear witness to. The kingdoms of the world become what they want to be in control of. And they reduce the witness to a political call to nationalism. But the church is called to bear witness to God's loving, healing, and abiding presence in this world. We speak of God's unifying love, not us versus them, but a love that draws people together. A God that desires to draw all people to God's self, not a message of fear and division. Notice in that upper room, Mary, the mother of our Lord, is there with them in Acts of the Apostles. So we're reminded in that imagery of the birth of Christ as we anticipate the birth of the church. We see a continuity of God's love that bears witness to a church that seeks to welcome all people. Now, the ascension parallels the transfiguration. If you recall, the transfiguration is when Jesus brings some disciples up to the mountain and Moses and Elijah appear. Jesus is transfigured. Notice that in the event of the ascension, there are two men there. I wonder if that's Moses and Elijah. And then in Luke's gospel, there are also two men at the tomb. They're not called angels. They're two men, right? They're not named Moses and Elijah, but I wonder that. But both events, the transfiguration and the ascension, are mountaintop experience. What happens following the transfiguration? Jesus' ministry is then oriented towards healing. So as the Spirit continues to gather us around this mountaintop experience of word and sacrament, when we receive that forgiveness and mercy and fed with God's love and abiding presence and go out into the world as ones lifted up by Jesus, as ones joined to Jesus to bear witness to God's healing and abiding presence in the world now, we become a healing force for the world. The good news that we receive in our lessons today is that we also don't do this alone. The theme of community is most certainly a feature in all of this. So as the church we gather, God lifts us up, sends us out, and we bear witness to that love and word and deed. Because the kingdom is now, and we offer glimpses of that kingdom that is here and that is to come. I've said this to church council. We don't give people hell. We give them heaven, right? We don't go out and give them hell. We give them heaven. What do we hear in Acts? But you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Cardington, Marion, and Morrill County, and even beyond that, are parts of the ends of the earth that we have been planted and commissioned to bear witness to God's love and to God's work in the church and the world today. We are called to orient ourselves always to the crucified and living God among us, and to bear witness to that love that is not just for one people, but for all people, not just for one nation, but all nations, a love that calls us to be devoted in lifting up our neighbor, in lifting up the other, and to be always focused on the love of Jesus, a God who is always with us, who promises to love us forever. And in him, we are heaven and earth people. In him, we rejoice in the good news that eternal life is now. It is today, and it is forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of harmony, as you drew your Son to your side, you draw us to you and unite us with your creation and one another. Weave your church together in a web of mutual love for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God. As your Spirit hovered over the waters of creation, so your Spirit hovers over all that you have made. Bless the water that sustains the planet and grant wisdom to use it wisely. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Hear us, O God. You empower your people with the fire of your Spirit. Challenge all in leadership to speak a message of peace and justice. Hear us, O God. You care for all your children. Show your steadfast love to those suffering isolation, especially exiles, refugees, or prisoners. Break the chains of all held fast by systematic oppression of any kind. Comfort all who are afraid or suffering from illness, especially Art, Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Anne, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Doug, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Lucas, John, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. We give thanks that humankind serves as your body in the world, stewarding your abundant gifts. Guide this congregation's leaders as they seek your will. We pray for our staff and council. Hear us, O God. You raise your saints to new life in Christ. We give you thanks for Helena, mother of Constantine, and all your saints who have given us glimpses of your redeeming love. Hear us, O God.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who willing gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In the night which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. Distribution will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the lectern set. An usher will have a tray of glass cups and will release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. Announcements for the good of the community. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.